Good evening, everyone. I just want to thank Brother Calvin. I want to thank Brother Dave for helping me. As you can see, I need a lot of help. But I have a lesson tonight. And if I just want to say, if something is said that is not in accordance with the Word of God, I pray that you would bring that to my attention. I will count you as my friend if you would do so. The title of my lesson is Attitude Toward Error and Sin. Attitudes toward error and sin. And our lesson text is 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, and also Romans 3, 23. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Paul warns that the time would come when error and sin would have free course in the lives of men. Free course in the lives and hearts of men. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The same writer also tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, the big question that should be on our mind tonight, and that we should consider doing this lesson, is what is our attitude toward error and sin? And there are four possibilities. There are four possibilities. The first possibility is that we can deny them. We can deny the sin in our life. In Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 11, or rather start at verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.'" He could see the sin in the lives of others, but not in his own life. Outwardly, he appeared righteous, but his heart was not right. His attitude was wrong. John, let's look over there. John, 1 John, first chapter, verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." John tells us that we lie if we deny that we are sinners. Ahab was not about to admit his wrong. He blamed the trouble on someone else. Turn over to 1 Kings 18, verse 17. 1 Kings 18, verse 17 says, "Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel? Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' Many today, when asked for book, chapter, and verse for what they practiced, get mad and angry and admit no wrong, but brand others as troublemakers and church splitters." And look with me in James. In James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." James admonishes all sinners to confess their sins. So that's one possibility. The second possibility is that we can ignore them. We can ignore the error and sin in our life. We can pretend that they don't exist. In Daniel, about the fifth chapter, Belshazzar ignored the fate which his father had suffered because of sin and was overcome by sin himself, by sin itself. His life was taken and his kingdom given to another. Let's turn over to Numbers. Numbers, the 32nd chapter, in verse 23, where it says, "But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Your sin will find you out. We can ignore sin now, but we will face it in the judgment. Some of the Jews of Christ's day ignored their sins and closed their eyes and ears to the truth. Let's look at Matthew with me. Matthew 13 and verses 15. Matthew 13 and the verses 15. And verse 15 says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Paul instructed Timothy to take heed unto himself. Now, brothers and sisters, this is good advice for all children of God. For all children of God. We need to continually examine our lives to see if we are living in sin. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Where it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We can't just ignore our sins and pretend they're not there. We must seek forgiveness. That's the second possibility. The third possibility, I haven't been putting these up. The third possibility is that we can live with them. We can live with them. Pilate knew he was guilty of sin when he refused to free the sinless Christ. This attitude and practice reflects a greater desire to please men rather than God. To live with error and sin is to become a party with them. Second John 9-11 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Members of the church at Corinth were unconcerned about the sin among them. They lived with it. First Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2 says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Many in congregations today do the same. They do not approve of the things being done, but like Pilate, they don't have the courage to resist evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. So therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Many congregations have members who need to be withdrawn from, but no action is taken. We cannot live with sin in this fashion and please God. Number four, and our last one, is that we can oppose them. We can oppose error and sin. Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul was never afraid to stand for truth. An and oppose error and sin. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. This is Paul at the end of his life. Words that I'm sure we all pray that we can say at the end of our life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Even in his deathbed, Paul was calling others to obey the gospel. At the close of Paul's, at the close of life, Paul could truly say he had fought the good fight of faith. We can and should have the attitude that we are going to fight against error and sin with all our being. This is God's way. Matthew 21 and verse 12 says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Christ, the greatest champion of truth and righteousness, was constantly opposed to all evil. He pulled no punches when dealing with the Pharisees or any other sin or sinners. We must oppose sin in our lives, in the lives of others, and within the church. If you are not a Christian today, you need to become one. Don't waste 1 minute. Don't waste 1 hour. Because we need to get ready. We need to stay ready. And we need to be ready when the Lord comes. That's my lesson, brothers and sisters. That's my lesson. Our attitude toward error and sin. Our attitude will determine our altitude. And if we want to be in heaven with our Lord and Father, we need to get our lives right. We need to make Jesus the head of our life, and we need to do it today. If we are not getting the cleansing that we need from the blood, we need to get that right. Being what we need to be can help each and every one of us, and we can help one another. Pray for one another. That's my lesson. If this lesson is for you, you can come forward and sit on the front seat if you need any help from us as we sing our song of invitation.